It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And welcome to another edition of the Explore Fairbanks radio show. I'm Scott McCray, President and CEO of Explore Fairbanks, here in the studio with my co-host, the man on the boards, and my colleague, Bill Wright. Bill, we made it to the end of the year.
Yes, we finally did. and I was thinking maybe this could be one of those pieces that can run again, but I'm okay if since we've accomplished this far, kind of halfway through the whole radio deal that we started way back in July.
It is. I think it's hard to gauge, you know, how many of you out there in the KFAR listening world are tuning into this. We hope you are. But as far as how it's done, I think we've had a great lineup of guests that we've had. We've covered a wide variety of topics, covering not just the tourism industry, but other topics of relevance to, I think, the Golden Heart City as well. And those are all archived, so go to the KFAR website if you want to go back. If you're looking for something to do over the New Year's weekend, want to get caught up on the Explore Fairbanks radio show, yeah. We highly encourage it.
Yeah, and a lot of great sponsors, too, that have helped us get this far.
And that's been the great part about this. You know, we're not using any of our, as a destination marketing organization, we're funded by bed tax revenues that come from the city of Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough. We're not using those funds for that. Each month, we have one of our different business partners sponsors the show for us because they see the value in helping getting the word out to the Fairbanks community on the importance of the tourism industry. And that's why we started the show, is to let the good people of Fairbanks know this is what it means to have a vibrant tourism industry here in Fairbanks, what it means for the quality of life, what it means for economic impact, and so much more.
And I've been so fortunate to be a part of these different conversations with our colleagues, with our partners, all about this wonderful visitor industry that we have, thanks to the excellent people of Fairbanks and the destination itself.
Absolutely. And the great part about it is the partners who do sponsor this, they come on, they do an interview. Is the tourism industry is about, it's about stories, and the different partners we have, they have some just amazing stories to tell.
Truly.
Not just about how they ended up here in Fairbanks, and everyone has a different story for that, with the exception of those who were born and raised here, but how they got here and just the story of their business. Because we're a partnership organization, so we have about 353 partners who make up Explore Fairbanks. By and large, a vast majority are small businesses. They're ma and pop shops. They're former Yukon Quest dog mushers who now do dog mushing tours. They're people who love the outdoors, who want to share the outdoors through ice fishing tours and so forth. And so it's great. The tourism industry is very much entrepreneurial. And we see that, time and time again in these individuals in Fairbanks who say, we want to become a business. We want to contribute to the tourism industry. And here's what we have to offer.
Yeah, it's such a great family of everyone kind of leaning toward the same, leaning into the same strengths that we have here in this lovely destination. So, Scott, our goal today is to kind of do a year in review and sort of cap how things are, like where we are to date. We are on a calendar year. We're a nonprofit organization that's on a calendar year. And so as we wrap things up, we can actually kind of keep 2023 in a nice little package as we talk about it today.
We can, yeah. And we like to compare, how well the industry is doing compared to we use 2019 for a benchmark. A lot that was the year before the pandemic, and the pandemic devastating on so many different aspects of life, and unquestionably the leisure and hospitality, the tourism industry was just dramatically impacted. And in some cases, we're still kind of recovering. I think 2023 felt like it was the first year of things kind of being back to normal as they were since 2019, but also, some things were different too. In terms of, visitation, so the way we measure success here in the industry as far as, how many visitors are coming to town, we look at different stats such as the Fairbanks International Airport, their combined arrivals and departures. We look at what's happening in the hotel industry, the Alaska Railroad, border crossings, and it was kind of sporadic in 2023. There were some months where there were record numbers even before the pandemic, like the Alcan border crossing. I think it was the month of August was just, the numbers were just amazing. They surpassed what we'd seen for the record back in 2019. And airport, you know, everything was up over 2022, but in some places they were kind of down compared to 2019. But I think overall it was a good year. And one of the things we always like to, you know, talk about here in Fairbanks that we are so fortunate to have, especially compared to some of the other destinations in Alaska, Southeast Alaska in particular, we are a year-round destination. So, right. You know, places, you know, Ketchikan, where I'm originally from, you know, their tourism season is pretty much cruise season, May to September, although now the cruise season is extending. It's more April, October now, but that's the extent of their tourism season. And here, because of the work that Explore Fairbanks has done far before, you know, you and I came on board here and industry partners, we have a vibrant year-round economy. That means year-round jobs. That means businesses that are open year-round. New money that's coming in to Fairbanks from visitors 12 months a year.
And there are ebbs and flows, too, in that whole visitor numbers. You know, there are some slower months and some that are up. But overall for the year, how would you rank 23 among the last five?
Definitely it was in terms of the top five, it was the top, the top of the list. You know, okay. We look at the various numbers there. Again, it seems like we're still a little under 2019, but you know, coming out of the pandemic, 2023 was definitely a good year. And the forecast, you know, going into 2024, it's still, you know, looking promising. I mean, we're fortunate to be in the position that we are here in Fairbanks, here in the great state of Alaska, of being a bucket list destination. This is the place people dream about coming, whether it be coming to see the Northern Lights or coming to Denali in the summertime. So we had that working to our advantage.
And a lot of people were staring that bucket in the face during the pandemic too. Like, could this be my last time here on Earth? Yeah. So maybe I better get on that list.
Absolutely. And one of the things we like to mention is, you know, during the pandemic, even though people weren't traveling, you know, we kept very active in our marketing efforts. And it was more like inspirational marketing, like, okay, we know you're going to want to travel again. We know this is a place you want to travel to. Here's what we have to offer. So keeping Fairbanks and Interior Alaska in the minds of travelers. So when things did start resuming to normal, you know, they would be coming here. And we've seen that happen over the last 3 years, for certain.
I think it's also somewhat of a challenge for us when we live here. Not only do we have this fabulous destination, of course, I and my family and friends have all taken advantage of the great opportunities that are here, attractions, you know, even places to stay that are nearby, and, you know, driving an RV around the beautiful state and down to Denali National Park, even if it's for a day trip. There's all of these great features that we get to enjoy, but I think we don't recognize that there are plenty of places on the planet where you can live, but it's not that kind of place where you can just enjoy it. So to do something that's so exciting and exotic as Alaska, you have to go there.
Exactly.
And so it's we have to put ourselves in that mindset that, yes, it is this dream destination.
Yep.
And we fulfill that dream in great ways, I believe, here in
the interior. We do. But yeah, most definitely. We're very fortunate to have a superior product in terms of what we're marketing here. And that's important, though, to mention, though. We do have to market it because there's sometimes a perception, and we see this when it comes to, you know, the Alaska Travel Industry Association, the statewide tourism marketing agency. They tend to rank towards, if you look at tourism marketing dollars coming from the state to support, you know, an endeavor such as that, Alaska tends to rank towards the bottom in terms of money that's being given for tourism marketing. Because I think there's a perception sometimes that says, well, you don't need to market Alaska. That's everyone knows about Alaska. Where just people are just going to organically come. That's not the case. And I'll tell you, it's especially not going to be the case moving forward, because we're back into the tourism industry is globally competitive once again.
That's true. That's exactly
people in
right.
the U.S. who weren't traveling internationally are looking. They did international travel as far as U.S. people going traveling abroad was up this last year. We think that's going to continue. So we got to make sure, whether it be the state of Alaska or Fairbanks, that we're keeping our message out there, that we're keeping, you know, ourselves in front of travelers domestically and internationally as a place that they need to come to.
And I think you're right about that, Scott, as far as the shift in and not only abilities, people are recovering from economic challenges as well all over the globe. That strength of the U.S. dollar just puts us out there as being, you know, we've never had more buying power abroad.
Right.
Given that the more and more domestic U.S. citizens are willing to go outside, we do need to backfill those that have either come to Alaska and are ready to move on to an abroad destination. And so we need to bring in people that are in those outside destinations, coming in from out of the country, coming in here like we had in 2019. We had a good balance of both, did we not?
We did. Yeah, we did. I mean, the international markets have always been, you know, very strong for Fairbanks, whether it be the German-speaking Europe market, which we've had a presence in for close to 20 years. We had, you know, Elka, our European contractor, the long arm of Fairbanks, you know, based out of Germany. She's been with us for a dozen years, and she was on the show once talking about the endeavors there.
That's right. Look at the archives for
yes.
that episode.
prior to the pandemic, you know, the Asian markets, you know, Japan was a one that we had for a long time, especially, and really it was the Japan market that helped ushered in Aurora tourism and winter tourism, you know, back in the day. And the day being 2014, 2015, we had a total of 18 charters from Japan Airlines coming directly from Tokyo to Fairbanks in the course of February and March. So that's, yes, international tourism, international markets have always been important to us. And those are the ones that are taking the longest to kind of rebuild coming out of
the ones that were the strongest are taking the longest.
Yeah, yes, they were. Australia, New Zealand is a good example of one also.
Yeah, that's right. And it just so happens that last year, during the year 2023, we did make a couple of new forays into the Latin America market or the South American market,
yeah,
as well as the India market. And I can tell you, talk about other parts of the world. These are definitely visitors that perhaps we haven't touched upon a lot and done direct marketing with. So it's a whole new learning curve for us. But I from what I can see, there's a lot of potential, a lot of sales out there that could occur, and we can get more and more of those, not only independent travelers from those countries, but also some group and incentive travel coming from those countries.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, if you look at just the sheer, the population of India, even just an iota of a fraction of, visitors we're able to bring over, it's pretty significant in terms of the numbers. And again, it's anytime we go into a new international market, there's a learning curve. There's the cultural, understanding the helping them, understand the culture of coming here, but also the culture of whether it be how travel agents, tour operators operate in those markets. What are the dietary needs? What are the expectations? So there's a lot of education, a lot of training, a lot of learning that goes into it. And it does take time. Like you said, we just started doing India and Latin America, South America, this year. We're going to have to continue that. We're going to have to keep added over the years to come to see that ultimately come to fruition. We're seeing some of it now. It's really interesting. I was in at the Morris Thompson Center the day after Christmas, and about 400 people through there.
Wow.
on the day after Christmas, almost largely international, a lot of multi-generational family, Latin America, maybe the adult kids were from the U.S. and,
right.
Mom and dad and the grandparents were, back home in their country, coming together as families to come travel here. It was groups of like 10 to 15 that were coming through.
That's
here.
That's nice.
From Latin America, we saw India, and then return. On the Asian side, I think what we're seeing is Asian American more than anything.
Sure.
I think it's, from especially
students
from,
and
mm-hmm. students. That's we've seen that come back, I think, pretty strongly. That it's college students who were from mainland China going to school in the United States, and Alaska and Fairbanks in particular has been like a big holiday break
right.
destination for them, more so in the month of March during spring break. And they come here, they're here for a week, and they're ideal visitor in some ways because they have a lot of spending money. They have a lot of cash to spend. So
right.
they're putting it out there. They're going to restaurants. They're shopping at your Big Rays and Prospectors to get the winter gear that's nicer than any winter gear you and I are wearing. And so it's great to see kind of these shifts there of these different markets that, that come in and ultimately make our community better through the economic impact of bringing them here.
Yeah. And as long as they're in the United States, they can continue to work with their student visa. They can travel all over the country, and they look on the map and they say, where else can I explore this amazing country? And Alaska rises to the top of their list because it's a part of the Arctic. There's ways that these students would never ever have a chance to do that again.
Oh, absolutely. That and like I said, we're so fortunate here. We have the luck of Mother Nature, what Mother Nature provides, with the big one being the Northern Lights. You talk about bucket lists for people around the world. That's a big one there. And that's why we are so successful in these winter months, is because that's the primary reason people are coming during this time of year. Number one, to see the Northern Lights. But then, of course, they're taking part in all the other kind of quintessential Alaskan winter activities that take place this time of year.
During the day. Well, we are coming up on a break now, and I just want to remind listeners that you're listening to Explore Fairbanks here on KFAR Radio. We are going to come back when we get through the break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about how tourism impacts interior Alaska. I think our listeners would love to learn more about that and hear that from our CEO, Scott McRae. And then also we'll leave some time over for maybe a little quick peek at what we think 2024 is going to pan out to be.
It's a murky crystal ball, but we'll do it.
All right. Well, let's take this break and we will be right back after this.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
This holiday season, experience the magic at Running Reindeer Ranch. Gather your friends and family for an unforgettable adventure right here in Fairbanks. Picture this, walking through a winter wonderland surrounded by majestic reindeer, their hooves clicking in the snow. Get ready to watch reindeer games as you learn about how these furry friends are adapted to life in the Arctic. And there's plenty of time for reindeer hugs and selfies. Make this season unforgettable at Running Reindeer Ranch. Book your spot now at runningreindeer.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
All right, we are back here with Explore Fairbanks. I'm Bill Wright, the Director of Tourism and Meeting Sales at Explore Fairbanks, and joining me in the studio is our frequent co-host, Mr. Scott McRae, the CEO of Explore Fairbanks, and we talk everything tourism here on this great show, and it's an opportunity to sit in on conversations, and today Scott and I are having a conversation about the year in review, 2023.
Yeah.
I mentioned before the break that we were going to kind of dig a little bit into the impact that tourism has. This is like the capital T tourism in Fairbanks and the impact that it has on our community. And we often refer to that, Scott, as Tourism Works.
We do. Yeah, we've got a campaign called Tourism Works for Fairbanks to kind of demonstrate all the different ways that the visitor industry contributes to the Fairbanks community. And I think a big one that I like to talk about, and I think a lot of residents, probably they stop and think about it, that makes perfect sense, is how we contribute to the quality of life. That having a strong and vibrant year-round tourism industry, it makes the community better. It makes life better for the residents who live here. And one of the examples I always like to give is we look at the air service have at the Fairbanks International Airport. Now, of course, you know, in the winter months, we have, in terms of connection to the lower 48, Alaska Airlines to Seattle, Delta to Seattle. But then in the summer months, we get expanded service. So this last summer, for example, we had United Airlines with service from Chicago to Fairbanks. We had Delta Airlines doing Minneapolis to Fairbanks. In previous years, we've had service with Dallas-Fort Worth. We've had San Francisco. We've had Denver. And these airlines, the reason that these airlines make the decision to have to expand their service, to have a new route come into Fairbanks, it is solely based on how well the visitor industry is doing.
That's right.
You've gone to the airline development conferences working in conjunction with the Fairbanks International Airport. The route planners, the first thing they want to know, they're not asking about how is your mining industry doing. They're not asking how government is doing. They want to know how is the tourism industry doing. And if the tourism industry is strong, then they'll make a decision to bring that service into Fairbanks, which benefits residents. You know, I know there's a lot of listeners who've probably taken advantage of those flights. You know, the one that I know a lot of people have enjoyed over the years was Condor Air with the direct service from Frankfurt to Fairbanks. So that in turn, that makes lives better here. It makes for people who are relocating here for business, for residents, having, you know, strong air service like that, it makes things better. And it happens because of the visit industry.
That's right.
And then really, too, it's all about just all the attractions that we have to offer here. We talked about, you know, because we are year-round, that gives, you know, the businesses, you know, the restaurants and the all places that, you know, visitors expect when they come to a community, but residents enjoy as well. We have that available to people on a year-round basis. And you look at the museums, hot springs, all the different tours and attractions that, you know, people enjoy doing.
Restaurants.
The restaurants. Yeah. These are things that we have because we have a visitor industry. And in turn, it makes things better for the residents of the Fairbanks who live, work, and play here
year-round.
Another one, too, just real quickly, Bill, I know some more things to cover, too, is I think what it does, too, is it makes people – I think people have a sense of pride about their community when they see visitors come in here. It's especially true in Fairbanks. I think one thing I love about Fairbanks is residents really do embrace visitors who come here. There's some destinations that aren't so fortunate.
That's right.
You know, especially coming out of the pandemic. You know, some destinations, people are saying, well, we kind of like things better when we didn't have a bunch of visitors here.
Right.
We don't get that sense here in Fairbanks.
It's another pair of shoes on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's that sense of pride. And what we really see that is, you know, this year, one of our big accomplishments this year was our brand new destination video that our communications department worked on. 3.5 minutes long video showcases all that we have to offer as a year-round destination. What I loved about it is not just the reaction from visitors who saw that, oh, yeah, I'm going to come there. It's residents here in Fairbanks, you know, sharing on social media, saying, yeah, this is my home. This is the place where I live. So there's that sense of pride, I think, too, that people have, you know, especially here in, you know, in the Golden Heart City.
Absolutely. And you know, as far as that, not just that sense of pride, but attracting people to move here, because we know we had some out-migration problems.
Yes.
Oh, even before the pandemic had started. And that just compounded it. And now we want more people to come to our community to work, live, play, raise families. You know, our schools have been shrinking and so on. We have room to grow.
And we do.
People that see that, they're looking for a place to live, and they see that this is one of the features, is this great destination, this global destination. Then that's a place I would want to live.
Absolutely. And there's studies out there that show that, you know, people, how they eventually moved into a community as they start off, they were a visitor. You know, to the community. That was their first experience with Destination A. They visited there. So, oh, this is a pretty nice place. This is where I might want to move to and get a job and buy a house and be a part of the community. So, yeah, absolutely. There's that impact as well.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, we also have other ways in which we care, tourism cares, and those are the things that we put into place ourselves, that it's not a byproduct of tourism, like, you know, the attractiveness that it might be to somebody coming to the community and moving, but we also have some deliberate activities and strategies that we have out there as far as tourism cares go.
Yeah. So tourism cares for Fairbanks, you know, across the board, if you look, we did a survey of our business partners to find out, you know, how much they give to local nonprofits, whether it be, you know, financially supporting, serving on a board, and volunteering. 38% of our partners said they give more than $5,000 annually to nonprofits and charities, while another 25% said they give between $1,000 to $5,000. And you can see examples from whether it be the, you know, the larger, you know, from Holland America, Princess, to the different hotels, the smaller businesses, Running Reindeer Ranch, who's a sponsor of this month's show. You hear them all the time as being, you know, a donor to a specific event or a cause. But we started a program called the Golden Heart Giving, where we host, we started this year, we did some different pop-up charity events to raise funds for local nonprofits. We did one to begin the year with the Fairbanks Rescue Mission, one in May that was for the Breadline Stone Soup Cafe. And most recently, we hosted the Alaska Travel Industry Association Convention. That's part of what we do, too. We bring meetings and conventions to town. This
that's
is one
right.
of the bigger
that was a
ones.
Big one.
Yeah, about 500 attendees. And we built in a charitable giving component to that. And in the course of just a few hours, we had raised $4,000 for the city of Fairbanks, the Crisis Now mobile response unit. And there's example after example of how this industry, whether it be through our work or the work of our partners, is finding ways to give back to the place that that we call home.
Yeah, I love that about us, and that is a new effort going way back, even though to the charity walk.
Where, yeah, we had the annual charity walk, and like a lot of things, you know, the pandemic changed the way we do things, so we pivoted to this new endeavor,
kind of pop up style.
And that keeps it, you know, ongoing throughout the course of the year, as opposed to just one day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. It makes us year round in that department as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And then other ways that tourism works. For Fairbanks would be just that economic impact, direct spending. These jobs, like you said, companies that are not only willing to give back to the community and nonprofits, but just those companies themselves and the jobs they provide and the money that stays, comes from outside, from pockets of visitors, and the money comes in here and it stays here and brings in that great economic impact.
There is no better example of economic development here in the Fairbanks community than the tourism industry. If you define economic development by new dollars coming in, which is right. what the tourism industry does, growth of jobs, which the industry does, and growth of businesses. You know, we kind of touch all the basics for economic development 101. So for the actual numbers, so in 2023, there were in Interior Alaska, there were about 7,700 jobs in the leisure hospitality.
Nice.
That's, I think, third within the private sector.
Not only third, but if you just added all those up, that would be the largest group of employees.
It would be, yeah. And that's direct jobs in the industry. There's a lot of industries out there that are, you know, indirectly impacted by the industry. You know, a good example I always like to give is tow truck drivers. You know, we do have a vibrant year-round industry. We have people who come here in the wintertime who rent cars, who maybe have never driven in winter conditions before, get stuck somewhere, rely on a local tow truck company to come in
right.
and tow them out. So
That's right. So
it's 7,700 jobs. In terms of estimated direct visitor spending, we got some new stats this year from the Alaska Travel Industry Association. From May 2022 to April 2023, $944 million
wow.
of direct visitor spending. And
so over $750 million.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And in terms of number of visitors to the Interior Alaska during that same time frame, May 2022 to April 2023, about 861,000. So
that's
if we want to define by the numbers, those are some pretty solid numbers that demonstrate, you know, the value of what we like to call the tourism economy here to Fairbanks.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to be a part of it. And it's great to have these conversations where we can dig a little deeper into some of the reasons why. And I think if more conversations get out to the community, maybe someone listening out there will say, hey, I have an idea. How about if I did this? And then they start some new industry or new business that is visitor related, and all of a sudden we've got even more.
Like I said, we have a very entrepreneurial spirit here in Fairbanks. We know there's listeners out there who probably have some good ideas. My advice, focus on summer. We have plenty of winter products, and that's probably our fastest growing. We see, you know, number of new operators and tours is in the winter months. We need some more products, I think, for the summertime, especially around the midnight sun season.
That's right, around the midnight sun season,
yeah.
Something that you can do late at night.
Yeah.
2024, we've got about a minute left. 2024, what would be, if you could put it into a sentence or two, what's your prediction?
I would say that 2024, I think, we're going to see the work we've done in international markets probably start to come to fruition. So new international markets coming in, meetings and conventions, which we focus on, doing a lot of work in the last 2 years, our meetings and conventions manager, you know, going to different conferences to look at bringing smaller boutique conferences here. I think we're going to start seeing that come to fruition.
Right.
And I think that the Aurora season is probably going to be a really strong one this coming year, because we're at that cycle now with the in terms of the solar activity. A lot of people think, oh, that's the time I got to go and see the northern lights. We always tell people, you don't need that to come in Fairbanks. It's going to be
right.
good
even
despite
the
solar activity.
Yeah.
But if that's going to get more people to come here, then we will happily take them, and hopefully Mother Nature will put on a show of a lifetime.
That's fantastic. So a little sneak peek at 2024. We're about to enter it, and I'm looking forward to it. Scott, maybe this time next year we'll be talking about another successful year.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for
Bill.
Joining us, and we'll see you again, KFAR listeners, next week on Explore Fairbanks.
Happy New Year.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.